Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you.
Today, as you're having a seat, get your Bibles and go with me to Romans, the sixth chapter. And we're going to be in verse number 21 through verse number 23 today. We're in a series called Controlling the Flesh. You know, we can either be controlled by our flesh or we can control the flesh. And the way that that battle is fought and won is right here in our minds. There's a battle going on in our mind. Are we going to link up with the Spirit of God, or are we going to link up with our flesh? Are we going to present ourselves? Because it's all in the presentation. Whoever you yield yourself to, whether to God or whether to sin. I want to remind you that we talked about our lives and the makeup of who we are. Many times people think we're just a body, but you're more than just the flesh. You're more than just an external shell. Really, there is three parts to your being. When we look at God, we can see that God is a three-part being, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God, yet three expressions of his person. In the same way, as humans, God made us in his image. And therefore, we are also three-part beings. You are a spirit. That's the real you on the inside of you that if you died would live on eternally. What did the Bible say in Genesis? That God breathed the breath of God into Adam and he became a living being. That is the real essence of who you are, is your spirit man on the inside of you. The Bible calls it the hidden man of the heart. But you're a spirit who has a soul. What is your soul? That is your mind. That's your will. That's your emotions. That's your thought life, your passions and your desires. And you live in a body. That's this external earth suit. Probably the most easy to identify because we can see it. We can touch it. We can hear it. We can taste it and smell it, right? All the five senses that we can understand that the body is, and yet there's more than meets the eye. There's that hidden man of the heart, and that's where the spirit and the soul live, is within the heart, not just that member pumping blood through your bodies. No, the deepest part of you, the spiritual part of you on the inside. And we said this, that the spirit and the body, they're at war with one another. That's why you've got that arrow there with that circle with the line going through it. Because the Bible tells us in the book of Galatians that the body wars against the spirit, and really it calls it the flesh. The flesh lusts and wars against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, so that you do not do the things that you want to do. There's things that are going on. That's why we struggle. That's why we still fight against the flesh. We have carnal or fleshly desires that try and draw us away from the Spirit of God. And so we said this, that we can link up, and there's some things that happen when we link these up. When the body and the soul link up, you get unrighteousness. That's not the right way. You get sin's dominion now, which puts you under the law. And the law is that if you live by these things, then you're going to live, but if you don't do them, then you're going to die. And we put ourselves under sin and death. And that brings about uncleanness and, notice, lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. But then if our soul and our spirit link up, look what happens. We end up in righteousness, which brings us to God's dominion. Now we're working with God and not against God, which brings his grace, his ability to, on our behalf, for obedience. Now we can do the things that God desires for us to do, which we double down on righteousness, which brings us to holiness. That is that exclusivity that we talked about. Well, now we're God's alone, that we are living our lives exclusively for God because God is exclusively our God. He's the one true and living God. We said this, that you can elevate part of your person. And notice, I've got the spirit elevated here. When you elevate the spirit, what happens to the body? The body goes down, doesn't it? And you can see we've got that rope because we've got the whole cowboy theme down here on the bottom. But that rope, what does it do? It corrals the body. It can control the body. When you get a hold of it, what happens now? You can move it where it needs to be, and you can restrain those lusts and those passions and those desires to not take you away from God. But now you can present your members, even your flesh, as instruments of righteousness. But when you elevate the body, notice, where does the spirit go? The spirit goes down, and something happens when your soul and your body get together. It cancels out the spirit's influence in your life, so that you end up doing the wrong things and you go with the way of the flesh rather than the way of the spirit. We'll come back to this later on in the message, but let's read Romans chapter number 6, starting in verse number 21 and down through verse number 23. Notice what it says in Romans chapter 6, starting in verse number 21. It says, what fruit did you have then? Everybody say fruit. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Verse 22, but now having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit. Everybody say fruit. To holiness and the end, everlasting life. Verse 23 is a very familiar verse. You probably heard it quoted, probably at least the beginning of it quoted, but let's read it together on the count of three. One, two, three. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wow. Now that wage that's referred to here, it says the wages of sin is death. That wage was really what you would see a wage of a soldier. In fact, in biblical usage, you find in the Gospels, Jesus is talking about the wages of soldiers, the pay that they receive. And so it says the wages of sin is death. Think about a soldier's wage. Many times in ancient times, they weren't paid with like a paycheck like we would think. It wasn't like, hey, you get a gold coin per week or anything like that. They were fed their food. That was their wage as they went on. They were able to be sustained. And they really didn't get any sort of a pay until there was a battle fought and won. At the end of that battle, they would go and they would receive the spoils of war, and they would gather all that together, and they would either divvy it up to each man according to what they did, how much they could receive. There was a portion that was given to them, and that was their wage, or it was however much they could get off the dead bodies as they were going through. If they found a gold ring, if they found an earring or a nose ring or something like that, that would be their pay, a set of clothes, maybe a weapon that they liked. That would be what they would receive as their wage, was the spoils of war. Think about this. It says the wages of sin is death. See, when we serve our ungodly master, sin and the devil, what does he do? He strings you along. He gives you just enough to get by, and then at the very end, there's a payload that's coming to you. The problem is that the wage of sin is not something that you want. It's death. And what is death? Eternal separation from God. Death is separation. When I die, my spirit man is separated from my body. And spiritual death is separation from God, whether now or the second death, which is in the resurrection when we're all raised again, some to everlasting life and some to death. Separation from God, eternal punishment in hell. And so he says the wages of sin is death. That means for all your fighting, for all your laboring, for everything that you do, there is a wage that's coming to you, and sin will drag you along. It will give you just enough to get by, and in the end, it has a terrible pay, and that is separation from God in hell for eternity. But then it makes a transition. It says, but the gift of God. Notice it didn't say the wage of God. Because if you could earn your salvation, then aren't you cool? Aren't you great? Don't you get the glory? Don't you get the honor? But it's not able to be earned. We cannot earn our salvation. It has to be something that's given to us. And it says the gift of God is eternal life. Now, again, we have to look at that word gift and how it's used in biblical usage. And you'll find that word gift used in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, speaking of spiritual gifts that are given to us. It's a word in the Greek called charisma. You've probably heard of a charismatic church, a church that flows in the gifts of God, that sort of thing, that believes in the spiritual graces and gifts that are given to the church. Really, this word charisma is speaking about a supernatural endowment that is given to somebody for a purpose. So those gifts that we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 are a supernatural endowment to bless, to edify, to build up the body of Christ. In the same way, he says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift, the supernatural endowment of God for your benefit is what? Eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. You're not going to have true and eternal life outside of him, because he is the door. He is the way. He is the great shepherd of the sheep, leading us where we need to go. And only by Jesus can we be saved. That's why it's the gift. We cannot earn our salvation. It has to be received by faith in what Jesus has done on our behalf. And I'm so grateful that the Word of God points us to where to look. See, whatever you look at the longest becomes strongest in your life. Think about this when we're talking about our passions and our desires. Some of you guys understand this because maybe some of you are car guys out in this place and you found yourself, somebody said, hey, have you seen the new car? And you went, what car? The new one. Oh, really? All of a sudden, you're on the internet looking it up, right? Or, you know, I do this. That used to be with the internet. Now you're doing this, right? And you're looking it up on your phone. Ooh, oh, yeah, I do like that car, man. I really like that car. All of a sudden, it's showing up in your feed, right? You've got the whole social media thing, and all of a sudden, it's showing up, and you're like, oh, look at the algorithm. Got the car. Isn't that cool? That's the new one, honey. Honey, hey, hey, that's the new one. Did you see it? Take a look. It's right. See, and you're looking at it. Middle of the night, you're looking at pricing. You're going, ooh, actually, they're making it affordable. All of a sudden, they got deals coming out. There's a holiday coming up. They got a sale going on. They got lease options. See, whatever you look at the longest becomes strongest won't be long before you end up at a dealership picking one up. Why? Because you looked at that the longest. Ladies go, I never have done that. Really? Let's take a look at your Amazon cart for just a second. He may not have needed that new car, but you know you didn't need that new bag, right? You didn't need them shoes, all that other stuff that's in there, right? Why? Because you were looking at it. You were scrolling. Oh, look at that. Look at, they've got a new color out. I don't have that color. And what you're looking at the longest becomes strongest. Same thing with us. We can look to the desires of our flesh. We can look to those things, and they will draw us away from the Spirit of God, or we can look to the things that God has given us in His Spirit. And today, I want to point you to some things to look to. First thing from the book of Romans that it tells us to look to is to look to the fruit. I had you say that word purposefully with intentionality because I wanted you to realize that there is a fruit. What is fruit? Fruit is a product. Fruit is something that comes out of a tree. The tree doesn't have to work hard at it. It just has to remain in the ground. And because of the soil and the environment, it will start to produce what's on the inside of it. And there is a fruit of the flesh that if you remain in the flesh, there's going to be a product that comes out of your life. But if you remain in the Spirit, there will be a fruit or a product of the Spirit. Again, Galatians talks about this, that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, temperance, kindness, faith, temperance, and meekness, right? And we find that these things come out of us. And as you look to the fruit, you know, I don't know about you, but I like fruit. I like to eat apples and oranges and, you know, all the different fruits that are out there, pears and plums and the different things like that. And after I eat it, man, it tastes so good. I'm satisfied. And in our life, we need to look at the fruit and see if it will satisfy. Does it bring any satisfaction? Does it really satisfy us? Because, you know, when I've sinned, I found out afterwards, even though I thought it was going to be great, afterwards I found out that left me empty. I'm not satisfied with that. And you probably can look back on your life before Christ, just like he said, what fruit did you have then of the things which you are now ashamed? See, as we look back on our past, as we remember where we came from, we look at our lives and we go, ooh, no. You don't want to know me before Christ. You don't want to roll with the people I was rolling with before Christ. I mean, like, we were crazy. You didn't want to find us in a back alley. I mean, man, the people that I hung out with, the things that I did, I don't even want to talk about it. And we think about those things that we thought would satisfy us. We thought the bottle would satisfy us. We thought that the drugs would satisfy us. We thought that the sex would satisfy us. We thought that maybe accomplishments would satisfy us. If I can just get that promotion on the job, if I can just make this much money, if I can just get that car, if I can just get that bag, if I can just get that house, if I could just have friends, if I could just get this many likes online, maybe if I can do these things, then people will like me and I'll be satisfied. And yet, each and every time we found out that those things came up empty. And oftentimes when we look at the sin that we went into, we come up ashamed. But see, have you ever had on the opposite end of that something that you did that you found out, man, that felt good? Many times when you do the will of God, right? When you held your tongue, you're like, I'm so proud of myself. I did it. I didn't cuss. I didn't swear. I didn't say anything that I should have said. Oh man, there was gossip going on all around. I knew some juicy gossip. I didn't say nothing. Feels good. Why? Satisfied. How about this? When you have that moment with your kids, you know they're going through a hard time. You're able to sit down with them and give them the word of God and pray with them. Afterwards, you just feel so fulfilled, so satisfied. Why? Because there is a fruit of righteousness that's lasting and enduring. You know, the world gives us a picture of this in their advertising. They do a really good job of trying to trick us into thinking that their product is going to make our life better, don't they? Yeah, I mean, you think about some of these commercials online. It's like the pair of jeans that's just going to change your life, man. You will look slim. You look so good in these jeans. I mean, everybody's going to be checking you out. You're all of a sudden going to have a significant other if you wear these jeans. And people are out there like buying the jeans, like, come on. But then afterwards, you're wearing the jeans around and you realize, man, where's my boyfriend? Their boyfriend jeans. How about those pill commercials? You ever seen those ones? Man, they take your favorite song and they make a jingle out of it. And at the beginning of the commercial, everybody's depressed. Everybody has a horrible life. I mean, some of them literally have like a black cloud over them. But all of a sudden, they take that little pill that you can't even pronounce the name of it. But they got that jingle. Oh, oh, oh. You already know what I'm talking about, right? And life changes. Suddenly the cloud is gone and the sun is shining. They're doing a dance out there in the streets, right? They got all the moves going on. Everything is hunky-dory. Friends just start showing up out of the alleyways and they're doing the same dance as they come through. Like Fred Astaire, all of a sudden they're all in sync. They couldn't paint before. Now all of a sudden they're painting a masterpiece over there. I'm like, this is crazy. This is nuts. And does it satisfy? I mean, just take a listen as they start to give you the warnings at the end of it. Oily discharge? Are you kidding me right now? Did they just say death? This can result in death? I mean, I guess they have to say it, but am I willing to take that risk? My goodness, is it worth it? Will it really satisfy? Pepsi-Cola in 2017 had an ad campaign that they went a little too far with this. Some of you guys might remember this. It was right during when all of the social disruption started and things were starting to heat up. And so they had this ad that they thought would be a good idea that actually caused a lot of commotion and caused a lot of upset because they had this celebrity who was doing a photo shoot. And as she was taking this photo shoot, she noticed protesters roaring by outside. And so she did what every good celebrity would do. She joined the cause. Runs out on her photo shoot, and she goes and she joins all the protesters, and they're marching against the man and against the establishment, and they're gonna go and they're gonna make something happen, and they come up against the police line that's there, that's holding all of them back and holding all of them down, and she, in her wisdom, realizes what the solution is to the problem, and she goes to one of the police officers and she hands him a Pepsi. And suddenly, all of the world's problems are dissolved in a fizzy, sugary cola drink. People were beside themselves. Are you kidding me, Pepsi? You think that a can of soda is going to correct the social injustice that's going on here? Even Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s daughter got involved in it. She said online, Daddy should have known about the power of Pepsi. Saturday Night Live got involved with a spoof. It's just hilarious, like someone should have talked them out of it, but it was too late. But see, sin does that to us, doesn't it? Oftentimes it'll get a picture of what life can be like. Oh, it's going to be wonderful. You're going to be liked. You're going to be fulfilled. You're going to be satisfied if you just get involved in what the flesh wants you to. Just go ahead and jump in bed. You'll feel better afterwards. Just go ahead and have a drink. You'll feel better afterwards. You'll forget your problems if you take a toke right now. It'll just be all good. You'll be fine. And yet it comes up empty. Let me show this to you in the Word of God. I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation for the rest of the message today. I just thought the language updated for our use and for what we're living in today. James chapter number 1, turn there with me in whatever Bible translation you have. You can go there on your app, and if you do, then you can go to the New Living Translation with me. We'll have it up on the overheads for those of you that don't have your Bibles, but start bringing a Bible. Start getting involved in the things of God. Listen, you don't want to be brain dead in church. You don't want to miss what God is speaking to you. You want to get your interest and your attention, your focus. Take some notes, whether it's on your phone, man, put it on silent mode, but you can take some notes. That way you can get back to it, because when the rubber meets the road, Pastor Dan and Jess are not going to be there to preach this message to you again. But you know, you got the Holy Spirit, and then you'll have a written record of what God has spoken into your life. James chapter number 1 and verse number 12, starting out, says this: God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. There's a blessing for you. In life, you can elevate the spirit and still be tempted. There's still going to be a draw. That flesh is going to lust against the spirit. It's going to war against you. And it's going to say, I want this. I need this. And so it says, God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Notice the next word, afterward. There's a process. Afterward, they will receive what? The crown of life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord, that God has promised to those who love him. Now, on the opposite end of that, let's take a look at the product of the flesh. Drop down to verse number 14. It says this in James 1, 14 and 15. Temptation comes from our own desires. Some of your translations might say lusts, which entice us and drag us away. Verse 15. These desires give birth. Here's the product. Here's the fruit. These desires give birth to sinful actions. And when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth. Here's the product. Here's the fruit to death. Once again, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We have to look, is this going to satisfy me? Will I be satisfied really if I give him a piece of my mind? I might feel good for a minute, but then I might hate myself afterwards. And I might breach a relationship. What's the fruit of this going to be? If I take that drink, if I get drunk, if I get stoned, if I jump in bed with that person, what fruit is that going to produce? Because it may not be what you want, and it may not be long-lasting satisfaction that you think that you're going to get. And so we have to look to that. Let me say it another way, look to the end. Notice in Romans, it says the end of those things was things that you're ashamed of. The end of those things was death. We have to follow the logic. See, what is the permanent advantage? Use your brains, church. You know, God wants us to walk in the Spirit, but that doesn't mean you throw out your mind. You have to think about the things of God. And you have the ability with your imagination to look down the road. Oftentimes, my wife, when she's thinking about something, maybe a conversation or something like that, she'll run through scenarios in her head. Okay, if I say this, then maybe that'll work this way. But if they're offended and they say this back, then I'm going to say this. And then this is going to happen. Then I'll go back and forth. Sometimes she goes too far in that thinking. Because I'm like, honey, you're overcomplicating this. Stop. But other times I think it's good because what is she doing? She's thinking about the end result. How can I keep myself in the midst of maybe a challenging conversation? Maybe a tough conversation that could go the wrong way. I don't want to get into sin, so I'm going to watch myself. I'm going to watch my words. I'm going to watch the direction of what's happening. We need to understand, if I do this, will there be a lasting result that I really want? Look down the road. See if that's the case. Do I got any thrill seekers in the place? Anybody like amusement parks and thrill rides and that sort of a thing? Okay, some of you guys are my people. I used to love this a whole lot when I was younger as a teenager, man. Magic Mountain was my spot. I loved it. Goliath was the big deal back then, and we would do all that. And then they came out with like X and all that other stuff that they did, X2, you know, and they're spinning you around, dropping you around, going crazy. In fact, Pastor Luke's bachelor party, we went to Magic Mountain. There wasn't a lot of people there, and so we got on that Tatsu ride like 6 times in a row. It was amazing. So much fun. As I've gotten older, I have noticed that I cannot do all the rides that I used to be able to do. Hello. Because something happens to me when there's extreme pressures and G-forces applied to my life. And that is afterwards, I'm a little dizzy. Sometimes I'm a little sick. Sometimes I get headaches. And from a young age, I remember there's certain rides that I would ride them, and afterwards, I'm not doing that one again. Remember Flashback? Anybody remember Flashback? Man, I tell you, that sucker would knock my brains around in my head. And I remember I got off that ride, and I said, I'm never doing that again. Never did the ride again. Because I didn't like the way I felt after I got off the ride. Headaches. Because it's just knocking my brains all around. And I was just, I can't do that, you know? One time I went to the amusement park with our youth group. I was one of the leaders at the time, and our youth pastor, his son, came, and he was like, go on the ride with me. Go on this ride with me. It's one of those spinny rides. Now, I have never liked spinny rides. Because I get sick. I get motion sickness. I don't like that. I need to be able to see where I'm going. I like the forward motion. I don't want to go in circles. I don't like it. But he's begging me, please, there's no one in line. Let's go. And so I'm like, all right, fine. So I go on and go around. And I'm like, okay, we're good. We're done. Let's move on to the next thing. He's like, no, there's no line. We can do it again. I'm like, come on. I don't want to do it again. I don't like the way I feel on those rides. Oh, come on. Fine. So I go on it again. This time I'm feeling dizzy. I'm like, I don't like that. I'm done. One more time. No, I'm not doing it. Come on. No line. We just get right back on. Right now, let's do it. Look, they're waiting for us. No, we'll be the only ones on the ride. I'm like, oh, okay. Went on third time. This time, I tell you, I didn't walk off that ride. I crawled off that ride. Like, holding onto the rails. My face is pale green. I don't remember if I threw up. In fact, I don't remember most of the rest of the day. I think I was done for the day. Do you know that from that day on, I have never gone on a spinny ride ever again in my life. I let my kids, I'm like, you guys go ahead, throw up. It's fine. You know, like, I'm not doing it. Why? Because I look down the road and I don't like the way I feel afterwards. It's the same thing with our sin. We need to look down the road. We need to see what's at the end of that. Is that a place I want to be? Is that something that I really want to be doing? Because how am I going to look afterwards? How am I going to feel afterwards? How am I going to act afterwards? And we need to think about our lives and the path that we're on. It's why I love the book of Proverbs. It talks about the adulterous woman in chapter number 4. Do you know it says that her steps lead down to hell? What is God saying? He's saying, look down the road. Look where the path leads. Is that a place you want to end up? If not, stay off the path. It's that simple. It's that easy. Let me show this to you again on the graphic. Here we are with our body and our soul, but the spirit is elevated. What's down that path? Controlling the body. Putting my members under submission to the word of God so that when we run our race, we're not running in vain. We're running to win. We're making it to the destination that God has for us. But if we look down the other path where the body is elevated, we can see that the spirit is going to get canceled out. And that's going to bring us to the wrong place. It's going to bring us to carnality and things that we used to be ashamed of. We don't want to bring that into our Christian walk. We need to look down the path that we're on. It's going to bring us to a righteous and holy life when we elevate the spirit above the flesh. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, turn there with me, Deuteronomy chapter number 30. I'm going to take a look at verse number 19 and 20. Moses is preaching 3 different sermons in the book of Deuteronomy. He realizes that his life and his leadership are about to end. He's going to go and be with the Lord. And so he's giving them his last words, his final exhortations before he goes. And in Deuteronomy chapter number 30, he points them down the road. He shows them, this is where you guys are headed. Take a look. Deuteronomy chapter 30, starting in verse number 19, he says this, today I've given you the choice. Everybody say the choice. The choice between life and death. Remember, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. He says, you have a choice. You can choose which one. And then he shows them another choice between blessings and curses. Notice blessings is the capacity to succeed. That's what it is. Sometimes people think blessings is material things. It's wealth. It's money. It's stuff. That's not blessings. Blessings is the capacity that God puts on your life to succeed. That's what blessings are. That means that curses are the opposite of that. They're the things that you take away the capacity to succeed with. So he says, you can choose life or death, but you can also choose blessing, success, or cursing, failure. You choose. Look down the path. He says, now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice which you make. Oh, that you would choose what? Life. So that you and your descendants. You say, well, I'm not a parent. I'm a single person in this place. Oh, yeah? But there's people following you. You know, this year, a report just came out that the largest groups of generations attending the church are the millennials and Gen Z. Come on. That's good. You know why that's good? That means the church isn't dying. The church is growing younger. We need to. Because the generations that are older, man, hey, we've had our heyday. We've had our fun. We're headed to heaven. But there's somebody behind us. And if we make the right choice, then we have life, we have blessings, and our descendants, the people that are coming, the spiritual sons and daughters that are coming up behind us, they need to see the right choice in someone ahead of them. They need to know that when I'm older, guess what? My life is going to be blessed. They need someone to look to. They need someone to disciple them. They need someone to say, hey, I've been down that road and you don't want to go there because that leads to death. That leads to hell. That leads you the wrong way. Let me show you the path that leads to life. And he says, so that you and your descendants might do what? Live. Live. That's the spirit side. That's the right side that you want to be on. Verse 20. You can make this choice. That's such good news, isn't it? Because sometimes we feel like, I have no choice. I have to sin. And guess what? Yeah, sin is inevitable, but it's not necessary. How do we make the right choice? Here's how. You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God. Well, I love God, but I still sin. Notice what he goes on to say, obeying him. We talked about being on the spiritual side, and that was obedience. By obeying him and committing yourself firmly to him. This is the key to your life. See, a lot of people say they love God and yet they don't do what he says. Or they'll add a caveat at the end of their, I'm a Christian, but. Well, I'm a Christian, but you are a but. You understand that? Because if we put a caveat, if we attach anything to our love of God, you've got the wrong God. Your God is your belly. Your God is your flesh. See, when you love God, you'll do what he says. Jesus said this. He said, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. Plain and simple. We got to do what he says to show our love and committing ourselves firmly to him. This is the key to our life, walking in the Spirit. And if you love and obey the Lord, you will do what? Come on. You'll live long. Notice he points you down the path. Your life is going to be long. In Psalm 91, he says, you will satisfy me with long life. Look down the path. It might not happen today. It might not be tomorrow. It might not be next week or next year. It might not even happen in the next decade. Sometimes we get so discouraged because even in our lifetime, we may not see the things that we desire from God. And yet, true and lasting and eternal life isn't confined to the space here on the earth. God said that there were men and women of God who looked beyond the natural homeland to a promised land in heaven, eternal and greater, and a resurrection that was better. We have to set our hearts that we will live long in the land which the Lord swore to give your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know, when Abraham died, his only stake of land in the promised land that God promised to give him and his descendants was a burial plot. See, it wasn't about that. He was looking for a homeland that was not of this world, not of this creation. Which brings us to the last one for today, is that we got to look to Christ. Look at the fruit, look at the product, look to the end, look down the path and see where it's headed. But my goodness, don't get your eyes off Jesus. Not for a moment. You need to look to God. You know, I have two little dogs in my house. And, you know, two little dogs that I didn't want. Some of you dads know what I'm talking about, right? This is Lucy, okay? Lucy's our girl dog. And we've got another dog named Max. Now, most of the time I would tell you Max is a good boy, okay? Max, yeah, he is a good boy. Last night, though, I don't know, he's an old dog. He's like 14 years old now. And he's at that stage of life where he's become senile and he's barking at everything. You know, like he'll go to his bowl and he'll take a bite of food and then he'll back up three steps and bark. And it's like, what are you doing, you know? Last night at 2 a.m., he starts barking. I'm yelling down the stairs, shut up, Max. Go lay down. Because he's just barking at nothing. And he breathed growls, you know. Now, most of the time I can fall asleep to that because it's rhythmic. But then every now and then he throws in a bark. And of course, I'm like, and I'm like, shook out of bed. And I'm going, shut up, Max. One of my kids was like, Dad, I think the devil was trying to attack us last night because I heard voices. They were starting and stopping. And so I got up and I rebuked the devil. And I'm like, no, that wasn't the devil. That was your dad yelling at the dog. My wife said, Dan, I think the devil's trying to just use the dog. I said, no, I cast the devil out already. He's gone. The dog is still here. I'm going to cast him out next. He's going to be in the garage in a kennel if he keeps that junk up. You know what I'm saying? So most of the time, Max is a good boy. Now, with Lulu, the jury's still out because she's a good dog. I mean, she's a good girl, but that girl, I don't know if it's the name Shih Tzu that she decides to continue to, in my house, you know, it's just like. But she's loyal as all get up. See how she's looking right there? That's how Lucy looks at us. She loves us. There's been times where I have had to spank her in my house, you know, and she looks at me like that afterwards, like, I'm so sorry. And it's like, I know you're not because you keep doing it. One day we had I was making some eggs in the morning. One of the eggs accidentally cracked and broke. And so I had to cook an extra egg. And Jess told me, she goes, why don't you cook it for the dogs? And so I'm like, all right, whatever, you know. I'm cooking dogs and eggs. Like, this is stupid. I know some of you guys have like the farmer's dog stuff. You got your fridge. You're like cooking up, chopping vegetables and stuff for your dog. I'm like, give them the dry stuff. I don't care. But they're going to die. Yeah, all of us are going to die. You know, like. I need to think about my dog's nutrition. Have you seen them eat trash? So anyways, I'm cooking eggs, feeling stupid, and, cooking up these eggs. Now, the moment I'm in the kitchen, the dogs are there, they show up like a specter. I mean, it's just like they could be gone, and all of a sudden somebody cracks open some cheese or something like that, and all of a sudden, they show up staring at you. It's like the two little girls from The Shining just... Don't watch that movie. It's a bad movie, okay? I watched it as a kid. I don't know why my parents let us watch that, but we watched it as kids, okay? So don't watch it. It's a terrible movie, demonic. But I mean, seriously, they just show up and you're like, whoa, you know? So here I'm cooking the eggs. The dogs are just staring me down the whole time, just looking at me. So then when the eggs are done being cooked, I walk the hot pan over to their bowls, and the dogs are right in step with me, lockstep, right? They're just right there on me, okay? And so I bend over to start to put the eggs into the bowl, and Lucy rushes the bowl, okay? Now remember, I got a hot pan that I literally just took off the cooktop. If she gets her flat little face in there and gets burnt, I'm like, I know I'm never going to hear the end of this from my family. You know, like, I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to take a dog to the vet. I don't want to do none of it. I don't want her to be burned because I, you know, don't tell anybody. But I do enjoy the dog. I mean, she's loyal, you know. She sits with me. And anyways, here's the deal. So what do? I put my foot in between the dog and the bowl. Bam. And I say, no. And I scoot her back. And I say, you stay. And she went from looking at that pan to looking at me now. And she locked in on me. Now, Max, again, he's a good boy. He was always locked in on me. But Lucy now, she went from looking at that pan and the eggs now to looking at me. And so I did the whole time I'm scraping the pan of eggs, watching her. She is locked in on me. Not on the eggs, on me. Waiting there. Scraping them. I go over to Max's bowl. Scrape the eggs in the bowl. I stand up straight, thinking she's going to just jump in. She's locked in. She's not moving. So I stood there, and I waited, because I know the eggs are hot. I'm letting them cool down. Finally, I said, go. Bam, they're on them. But see, I wonder how often we get our eyes on the things that we think we want. God may have something for us. And it might not be no, it might just be not now. And here we are rushing, and God says, stop, stay. See, if you keep your eyes locked in on Jesus, keep your eyes locked in on God. God, I'm waiting for what you're going to say. Here I am, Lord. Until you say move, I'm not moving. Until you say go, I'm not going. I can't tell you how many people have ruined their life because they've got ahead of God. Oh, we're moving to Texas. We're moving to Tennessee. We're moving to Georgia. Did God tell you that? Because if so, God bless you. I love you. Hopefully you have a church before you move into an area, because that's where I would go, is where there's going to be a life-giving place. But if it's just, I need to prosper, I got to get out of this, I got to get away from this political stuff, listen, you're headed in the wrong direction. Wait on the Lord. Wait for God. Jesus talked about this, John the 15th chapter. Turn there with me. John chapter number 15, verse number 5 through verse number 8. Jesus says this. He says, yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Notice the connection. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much what? Fruit. Notice the product of your life. If you stay in the Spirit, you're going to have the spiritual fruit coming out of your lives. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And then he tells us about what happens when we're apart from him. When we get into the flesh and we're separated from God, because now we're operating in the principle of death. Anyone who does not remain in me, verse 6, is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. Notice the separation dries your life out, and eventually there's an eternal punishment. Verse number 7, but if you remain in me, and my what? Words remain in you. Do anybody remember part number 1 where we were talking about what to do with those thoughts when you find out that you're in the wrong place? We said to replace them, right? Get a hold of those thoughts, get them out of it, remove them, and then you do what? You replace them with the word of God. Because Jesus said, my word is Spirit. If you want to get into the Spirit and get out of the flesh, replace the flesh with the Spirit. So he says, if you remain in me and my words, my Spirit, and the word of God remains in you, then you may ask for anything you want, and it will be granted. did anybody just recognize the blank check that Jesus just wrote us? See, we think about this, and people that are in the flesh say, well, I prayed and I didn't get anything. Well, were you asking amiss because you were asking to spend on your own pleasures? Were you asking outside of the will of God and the character of God? Because if so, you can't expect anything because his word isn't remaining in you. But what does 1 John say? It says that if we ask anything according to his will, you know, God's word is God's will. If you can find it in the word of God, then you can have it. Why? Because it's his will. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if he hears us, then whatever we ask, we can have those things we've asked of him. See, when Jesus and his words remain in you, then your desires are not going to be on your flesh any longer. They're not going to be asking amiss to spend it on your own pleasures. No, now your heart is going to be lined up with the heart of God. You're going to be walking in the Spirit and led by the Spirit of God to pray in the will and the counsel of God. And when you do that, you will have the things that you have asked of God. It's a blank check. He says, you can have it, but you got to remain in me. Verse 8, when you produce much fruit, once again, the product, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. See, answered prayers don't give you glory. You might receive things. There might be blessings. There might be things attached to that associated with prosperity. There may be wealth, riches, and honor, and those things. But when people talk to you about it, you're going to say, oh, this? No, this didn't happen because of me. This happened because of my Jesus. This happened because I believe the word of God. Oh, why did I get healed? Because I found a scripture that said by his stripes I could be healed. And God's the one that healed me. Oh, wait, this great family? Oh, no, I just fed them the word of God. God is the reason why my kids turned out the way that they turned out. Don't look at me. I didn't do everything right. It's only by the grace of God they turned. My marriage? Oh, yeah, it's because we got God in the center of it. Because the cord of three strands is not easily broken. It's me, my spouse, and God wrapped in and through our lives. That's how we have it. God gets the praise. God gets the glory. God gets the honor. We got to look to the fruit. We got to look to the end, and we got to look to Christ. Look away from the sin. Look away from the flesh. Get your eyes off of the hot pan of eggs, church. Get your eyes on Jesus. Because whatever you look at the longest will become strongest in your life. Can you just take a moment with me, bow your heads and close your eyes? Just ask the Holy Spirit, say, Holy Spirit, what are you speaking to me? And then listen for his voice in this moment. What is God speaking to you? As God is speaking to you, make sure to write it down. You're welcome to share with a faithful friend. Be diligent about what God is speaking to your heart. Guard it. Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you that you solidified in our lives. Help us, Lord. Oftentimes, we get distracted and we take our eyes off of you. We don't consider the fruit of the end of our actions, God. And we do the wrong things. Lord, you know that about us, and I thank you, God, that you give us grace. That as we reset our minds on the things of the Spirit and declare your word, God, we'll be walking in your Spirit, and in doing so, we'll receive your victory. We don't have to be bound by sin in the flesh. We can live victorious over every area of life. We love you, God. It's in Jesus' name. We're all in agreement. We say amen. Amen. Before anybody gets up, before anybody leaves, I want to just direct your attention to one final thing. Some of you guys are on the wrong path. Some of you guys are headed for hell. You might not know it. Maybe you do. But I want to make sure that you get on the right path. The Bible says that wide is the path that leads to destruction, and many people are on it, but narrow is the way that leads to life, and there are a few who find it. Today, I want to shine some light on the path for you. Sometimes people say, Pastor, don't all roads lead to heaven? Nope. There's only one way to heaven. That's God's way. Again, no one get up, no one leave during this time. If you die and go to hell, that's on you. I understand some people might have an emergency. Some people, you might be in the leave early section, getting to work. That's okay. The rest of us, let's just remain seated. Church is not done yet. Let's give God some respect. Some of you are on the wrong path. And not all roads lead to heaven. Sometimes you think, well, I've been a good person. But you know where the Bible says you can be good enough to get to heaven? What do we say? The wages of sin, your actions on this earth are going to be sinful. Well, it's just a little sin. It's not that bad. But listen, the wages will be paid, like it or not. It's only by the gift of God. You cannot earn your way into salvation. But my parents told me we were Christians growing up. Took me to church. In fact, here I'm in church in front of you right now. My last church, I got involved. I helped out. Doesn't that mean I'm a Christian? No. No, in the Bible says your church attendance or involvement will get into heaven. Sometimes people say, but Pastor, I know God. I know about Jesus and the resurrection, sing the songs at Christmas. I could quote scriptures, Old and New Testament. I know God. Doesn't that mean I'm a Christian? No. Because the demons believe and they tremble. The devil knows who Jesus is. Find him quoting scriptures in the Gospels. He's not a Christian. He's headed for hell for eternity. Let's make sure that you're not headed there with him. Everybody look up at me for a second. It's not about what you have up here in your head, knowing who God is, being able to quote a scripture or sing a song. It's not about what you've done out here with your hands, your good deeds, your church attendance, or involvement, but rather it's about your heart. Remember, it's God's heaven. We got to get there God's way, and there's only one way to heaven. And Jesus is God, and he said it in John, the third chapter. He said, you must be born again. Not a physical thing, but a spiritual thing that takes place, because the real you that we talked about on the inside of you, your spirit man, is dead. It's been separated from God through sin. But in order to come to God, if you'll surrender all of your heart and life to him, he'll make you brand new on the inside. That's the being born again part, is the real you on the inside of you. Your spirit gets born again. And now you're connected to the life of God. That's eternal life. It can start here and now. Sometimes people say, well, Pastor, I've got more time. I'm young. I want to have my fun and then I'll make a deathbed confession. But you're not guaranteed tomorrow. Jesus could come back at any moment. And will you be ready for his return? If not, don't gamble your future on whether or not you have more time. And by the way, God sees through your motives and will not reward them positively. You need to make the right choice. Choose life today. Sometimes you go, Pastor, I prayed a prayer of salvation. Isn't that enough? Well, did you follow it up with all of your heart and life? Because if not, God listens to the words of your mouth, then he watches your life to see if it follows. And if not, he knows. The Bible says everything's exposed, even our deepest secrets of our hearts, with whom before God we will have to give an account. Our motives, our actions, every part of us, whether good or evil. And will we receive the reward, whether it's the wage of sin, which is death, or whether it's the gift of God that we've received by faith in what Jesus has done for us on the cross. See, you couldn't earn it. You couldn't be good enough, smart enough, nice enough, pretty enough. It's only by faith in what Jesus has done on your behalf. In a moment, I'm going to count to three. One, two, three. When I say three, I'm going to pop my hand on this microphone. Bang, just like that. When you hear my hand pop on that microphone, bang, that's your opportunity to simply raise your hand. What you're doing in raising your hand is you're making the statement that I want to give God all my heart. I want to give God all my life. I want to be born again, head for heaven, denying hell. I'll see your hand go up. I'll count it. You can put it right back down. You might be thinking, but I'll be embarrassed if I raise my hand and people see me. Yeah, you might be. That's okay. Think of the trade-off. Isn't it better to be embarrassed for a moment than to end up in hell forever? No one make that trade, and yet the devil's going to try and talk you out of this right now. Tell that devil to go jump in a fiery lake. You're not going with him. You're going on with God today. Because Jesus said, if you confess me before man, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. I'm a man, I'll see you go up, put it right back down. But he also says, if you deny me, I will deny you. Today, your call. Today, your choice. You can sit there and do nothing. You made a choice. Or how about this? Like Moses said, choose life. Choose the right way. Today, it's your day of salvation. Who should raise their hand in a moment? If you've been running from God instead of to God, I'm speaking to you. If you're not sure about your salvation, make sure today. If you've never done this before, never crossed that line, giving God all of your heart and life, I'm speaking to you. Or finally, maybe you're lukewarm, maybe you're half-hearted. Maybe you're backslidden. Jesus said, when I come, I want to find you hot or cold, because if I find you lukewarm, I'll vomit from my mouth. Today, you need to turn from your way and go God's way. If that's you in any of those categories I just listed, get ready, get your hands up, both live and online. Here we go. One, two, three. Let me see your hands. Just raise them up high. Keep them up. Keep them up. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Got you guys. 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Way in the back. 16 right here. Thank you. In the center, there's 17. I got you right there. Up on top in the back, 17. There's 18 right here. Yeah, thank you. I got you. Appreciate the help there. 19 and 20 and 21 up front. I got you guys. 22 and 23 right here. Yes. God bless you. 24 and 25, I got you right there. Thank you. God bless you. 25 Anybody else real quick? 25 wise people already. Who else? 26 up top here? Yeah, thank you. Back there, I got you. Wonderful. Appreciate the help, ushers. Anybody else real quick? Just want to make sure there's 26 wise people. Come on, number 27. You're sitting there wondering if you should do this. Yeah, you should. Come on, let's go for God today. Who else today? You know you need to give God all of your heart. You know you need to give God all of your life. Anybody else? Come on, you're choosing life today. Anybody else? Last call. We're going to wrap this up. We're going to pray together. Well, the Bible says that if you believe with your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. I want to lead you in a simple prayer, a confession of who Jesus is right here at the altar. It's very special. Come to the altar of God and to lay down your life before him. So let's all stand together. No one leave, all right? If you've raised your hand or you should have raised your hand, I want you to get out of your seat, get in the aisle, meet us up front right now. Parents, bring your children. They'll remember this. If you need a friend, bring a friend. Get your stuff, get in the aisle, and meet us up front right now. Come on, church, let's encourage them. Hallelujah. They're coming. Let's give them a hand. Come on, you can come too. This is your time. This is your moment of salvation. Come on down. Let's pray together. From the family rooms, from the foyer, front to back, left to right, wherever you're at. Come on, get out of your seat. Get in the aisle and meet me up front right now. Come on down. Come on down. They're coming. Come on. Hallelujah, they're still coming. Come on, if you raise your hand, you need to come. Come on, there's more of you that need to come. They're still coming. Come on. We don't bite. Listen, this is not to trick you. This is to bless you. Anybody else? Come on. Come on, this is your time. This is your moment of salvation. Come on down right now. They're still coming. Church, nudge your neighbor. Say, come on, friend, if you need to go, I'll go with you. Then bring them right now. Come on, they might just need that encouragement. They might just need you to be the full-time minister, to step out and to just encourage them right now. Say, come on. Come on, let's go. Let's go. I'll go with you. Bring them. Bring them. They're still coming. Come on, come on, we'll wait for you. I don't usually call people out, but there were some people in the back row that raised their hand, and I just sense that the Lord is just urging you that you need to come. I don't like to embarrass anybody. I don't like to call people out. I'm not here to expose anyone, you know, or make you feel like, oh, God, the pastor called me out. But, you know, like when the Spirit of God's on you for something, I can't get off of it. And so I know if it keeps coming back to me, God's urging me. And so if that's you, I just want to invite you one last time. No pressure. Well, pressure, yeah. Lots of pressure. Here's the reason why, because you're going to get out of this place and the devil's going to beat you up. I'll just tell you that right now. The Bible says the word is sown and immediately the devil comes to steal it away. He wants to kill you. As the plain and simple truth. The devil's out to kill, steal, and destroy. That's what the Bible says. But Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And if that's you, they're going to sing this one last time as they sing. Come on, if that's you. Come on. Come on. You raise your hand. That's you. Just come. There's some deliberations going on right now, but if you need to come, just come. Come on. Come on, they're coming. We'll wait for you. Hallelujah. Come on, anybody else? Last call, we're going to pray, but I don't want to miss you. I love you too much. Come on, I'm fighting for your soul right now. If you need to come, just come.
was born with the precious blood.
Hey, everybody up front, put a big smile on your face. Came to give God all your heart, came to give God all of your life. This is the best decision of your entire life. I know that's like a big statement, but it's true. Because God's gonna make you brand new. The past is wiped away. Isn't that good news? Because the Bible said that was stuff we were ashamed of. I know in my past there's stuff that I'm ashamed of. I don't ever want to talk about it. I don't like it. And yet, the Bible says you're made brand new spiritually. You get a brand new start with a brand new heart. Today's a new day. And you can look forward to your future because God has great things in store for you. Now, there's no commitment worth anything without consistency. So I want to encourage you guys, stay consistent. Keep coming to church. In fact, give us this next year. Coming consistently. And I guarantee you next October, you'll look at your life and say, wow, look at the transformation that God has made in my life. It also means you got to keep talking to God every day. Just share with him your heart. You know, you don't have to have the these and thous. Just say to God what you would say to a friend. Good morning. Thank you for today. God, can you help me today? God, I got questions. Would you answer them? Listen for his voice. God will talk to you. Read his word. You don't have to read the whole thing in a day. I mean, this is a pretty thick book, isn't it? That's intimidating to a lot of us. Just get a verse. Get a paragraph. Get something that speaks to you from the word of God. Start in the book of John. Then read through Acts and then Romans and just keep going, right? Man, make it your life to just hear from God. As you do, God's going to transform your life. You're going to be a new creation like we talked about. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Like I said, a simple confession to invite Jesus in your heart. Be born again. Everybody's going to join in together with you just to encourage you, all right? I'll give you the words, short, simple phrases to say. If you mess up on the words, don't worry about it. It's not formulaic, all right? It's about your heart. Even online, if you're giving your heart to the Lord right now, I want you to pray this prayer with us. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes, and say these words out loud together in faith. Everybody say this. Say, Father God, I come to you today in the mighty name of Jesus, giving you all my heart and all my life. Please come into my heart. Be my Lord and my Savior. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me of my past and give me a future with you. For I believe that Jesus Christ is your only begotten Son, that he came and died and was raised again to life just for me. Thank you, Jesus. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit and let it be known that from this day on, I am saved. I'm born again. I'm a Christian, headed for heaven, denying hell. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Come on, can we give the Lord a great big praise? Hey guys, welcome to the family. We're so excited for you. Now listen, when I got saved, I was 15 years old. Needed a friend though to come and encourage me. Even though I was raised in church and I knew some stuff about God, I still needed some help. And so we want to encourage you guys with some help. This is my friend, Pastor Joel, waving at you. Really good guy. He wants to give you some free stuff, free literature. Find out what just happened. We got some stuff for the kids too, okay? And then he wants to introduce you to a friend, someone to encourage you and help you out. He'll describe how that works. It's easy, it's free, and you need to do it, okay? He'll take a couple minutes of your time. Your friends and family that came with you, they'll wait for you. And if your children are in the children's ministry, they're safe, okay? Would you make a left turn for a couple minutes? Follow Pastor Joel right this way. Come on, let's give him a hand as they go. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give the Lord a great big praise today. Wow, so good. Hey, church family, thank you for giving me some extra time to win souls. It's good to be in ministry with you. Thank you for allowing us to be your pastors. We're so grateful for you all. Tonight, 6 p.m., we're back in church, different music, different message. Now, listen, like I said, Pastor Donnie and Nicole, they're starting a church in Los Angeles, and they're going to go clean that place up physically, but spiritually most of all. And so we're going to give Pastor Donnie some more time on Sunday nights. He's going to be preaching a lot more. So he needs some people to come and say amen. All right, so that's you all, okay? But listen, it's going to build your life. You're going to get faith and encouragement and the word of God built into you. And so come back tonight, 6 p.m. And then Pastor Jessica's here Wednesday night, continuing our study in the book of Ruth. I tell you, it is so good. We were talking about it this morning. Amazing what God is going to speak to our hearts on Wednesday night. So look forward to being with you guys this week. Can I bless you as we go? Would you lift your hands to the Lord? Come on, even online, lift your hands to the Lord right now. That's where the blessing's coming from. Father, these are your people called by your name. They're blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed coming and going. May everything they put their hands to, they prosper. Lord, with a great big shout of faith about our area, we declare that the Inland Empire shall be saved.
Hey, welcome to the family of God. Pastor Joel wants to welcome you in your new life with Jesus. We at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center want to help you intentionally grow. Pastor Dan wrote this little resource that's downloadable right on the website to you. Now that you're new, what are you going to do? This resource is to help you grow. This resource is to build you up, like Ephesians says in chapter 4, verse 1, to grow into all aspects of Him. Who's Him? Jesus. We have a culture here that at The Rock where people like us do things like discipleship. Discipleship matters to us, and discipleship matters to you. Why does it matter to you? Because you need to grow. If you're ever on site, on campus, one of our faithful friends is here waiting for you. Faithful friends are designed to build relationship and community with you. You grow intentionally, you don't grow automatically. Thank you for checking in, and thank you for giving your life to Jesus. Let's grow together with one big family. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.